I'm just looking up a couple of things for my research, Santi. Welcome to the Strand Tennis Center podcast, everybody. I'm Steve Capo. I'm your host, looking at some stuff here. Okay, Santi, so come on, give me a little bit. How's it going this week?
It's good. Just chilling. It's getting colder. I like it out.
You just want to snowboard.
Waiting for it to snow. I'm snowing a little bit in Vermont.
So where's your first, what's your favorite snowboarding spot in New Jersey? Or in the Northeast?
Okay. Northeast, just anything in Vermont is good, pretty much. New Hampshire is not bad, but like the mountains are a little smaller, not as much vertical drop. So I try to look for the most vertical drop or the longest runs or the widest runs. Yeah. Everything's like a 4-hour minimum drive.
4-hour minimum drive?
Yeah.
Is this when you're going to do the, when you tell me to do the hotel and like drive up in the middle of the night, Vermont,
yeah,
do the hotel overnight?
Yep.
You know, I hate to talk personal. What happened to that girl that you were going snowboarding with?
We're just friends.
But
you
still
are? I don't really want
to
be anything more than friends.
But you still communicate?
Yeah. We're still like.
Do you guys hang out at all?
We used to hang out a lot more, but not as much now, so. Yeah.
Santi, you're a master at relationships.
Yeah,
it's amazing because
worst.
You know how to drift away.
Yeah,
and just they fall in love with you too quick.
Yeah.
And you're like, listen, man, I need to be unfettered.
Yeah,
I need to be free.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Santi, we call him Gigolo Santi.
No, we don't.
Funny, Santi. Yeah, well, funny. That's good, though. You seem to be generally happy.
Yeah.
Generally. You like the new apartments that went across the street? They look nice.
I was going to go look at
them. Go check them out.
They're expensive.
Did you get a price
for
them?
Online for like a one bedroom is like starts at $3,000.
$3,000 a month for a one bedroom.
For one bedroom, yeah, that's a lot.
That seems insane.
But they give you a lot of amenities.
Tons of them. There's a pool. There's
a
gym.
That's a lot.
So it's $3,000 for a one bedroom.
Yeah.
And a studio? They have a studio?
They don't
no?
have studios.
So they have a one bedroom for $3,000.
That's insane.
A two bedroom is what, $5,000?
No, I think it's like. A little under $4,000.
Mm.
You know.
Wow.
It's good for a couple. You know, they could split it. $1,500
yeah,
each.
Yeah,
like
you're talking about like a couple with no kids.
Yeah.
And they're just
one
together
bedroom,
and they
yeah.
move into one bedroom. It's cheap.
It's close to the
and
train.
They both have jobs and they go to the train.
And then also they provide shuttle service to the trains, which is
yeah, that's was
cool.
their big selling point because of the traffic
yeah.
pattern. They're going to provide
yeah. and
shuttle
like
service.
And I like the underground car garage.
It's oh, yeah, it's like
nice.
Hoboken.
Yeah.
It's perfect. So you got a spot. There's no worry. You needed a garage. If you
yeah,
don't
exactly.
have one, it's a mess. Yeah. It's a beautiful building. They did a great job.
Yeah. I got to go check it out.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the next episode of the Strand Tennis Center podcast, filled with tips, advice, tennis, not tennis, just life advice, too, whatever you need. Like it on YouTube. Share it on the podcast as well. Thank you.
All right. So what I'm going to talk about, Santi, is a couple of things. They all equate to tennis and business. It always works. But I'd like to talk about, and I brought the book, but maybe I don't need it, but Russell Brunson, who's a great salesman, did a mastermind with Tim Ferriss. You know who Tim Ferriss is, right? Wrote all these books. He's got a great
yeah.
podcast. Talking about the domino effect. You know what the domino effect is?
Not really, no.
Okay. So the domino effect is basically if I push over the correct domino or the biggest domino, all the other ones will fall.
Okay.
And we're going to equate this with tennis practice and with business. The problem is we get sidetracked and distracted by all the dominoes when really we just need to focus on the biggest domino or the one. That's why I talk about constraints, the same thing, but this is a better way to look at it. The domino effect will show you that you don't have to be busy all day.
Okay.
And they asked Ferriss this question in a mastermind. They go, what do you do? You're so productive. He goes, well, I get up, I do a meditation, I drink coffee, I read a book, and I kind of just wait around for the biggest domino to knock over.
Okay.
So he's not busy with 1,000 things. You'll find yourself, whether you're playing tennis or whether you're and you get busy with so many different strategies and so many different things, when you see the one domino, and that's really going to unlock everything else. So it's the same thing like making a decision that will solve a thousand decisions. So
yeah,
what decision can you make to solve all the other ones, Santi? What do you think you can make personally?
I probably should wake up earlier.
And that'll like solve all the other
situations.
It'll
solve a lot of problems because I wake up just before I have to come here. You know, either I shower or make coffee and then hop in the car. You know, sometimes I wish I woke up at least an hour and a half earlier than my normal wake up time. So I can, like, start my day, do whatever I need to do and, like, feel more alert, I would say, rather than coming into my first lesson not as alert as I could be. Because, you know, it takes a while, especially if you wake up in the middle of a dream. You wake up kind of groggy. So now I'm trying to time my sleep, meaning, like, REM cycles are usually every 3 hours. So I'll try to do, like, a six-hour sleep. If I sleep at 7 hours with 7 hours to my wake-up time, then I do notice that I feel worse. So I'm trying to, like, feel it out, science it out, and that's probably something I can change.
So do you think – you always talk about that your job is not your life. You have other things you're interested in. But if you're just getting up for your job, then it becomes your life. So I look at it this way. It should just be part of your day. So you get up and you have
other
tasks that you want to do, and your job is part of that. I don't expect everybody's job to be their life. Like, I just love it. I would, you know, we discussed this before about, you know, there's so many different things. So there's so many different thoughts I made. So we discussed this, how I have outsourced a lot of things. People are running the business and doing things.
Mm-hmm.
But necessarily replacing myself leaves a vacuum for me. So I need to figure out what to do in the sense of...
Are you trying to, like, fill a void?
Yeah, because what happens is, in my perspective, I work 7 days a week, 12, 13 hours a day for, I don't know, 10 years?
Yeah.
And then we'll get into something else with that. We'll talk about this. So when you go, okay, the business is like a baby, so I got to be around it all the time. Now it's 18, 15 years old, and it's not a baby anymore. It's an adolescent, so you let it go. You let it do things and go on its own.
Yeah.
But you have to then do something else. You have to then, what are you going to sit around and stare at the walls? Like,
yeah.
Anthony Robbins said that. You know, you sell your company and you go on vacation for 2 weeks and you lose your mind. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
I'm just not built that way, right? I need to be. I'm very curious. Always need to learn. I'm always learning and growing and trying new things. So I'll doing new things with the business. Yes, I'm doing it more on a kind of visionary scale, so to speak, instead of the day-to-day operations. But we got into this because you need to fill the vacuum basically with your day of all the things that you want to do and just make work part of your life, and you'll be a lot happier. So if you get up and say, what you came into work today, what, 2?
I got here at 10:30.
10:30. So 10:30, say if you got up at 8 and did and worked out and did, it was like
I'm
painful.
Like,
you don't see Santi on camera, but he's
So if I had to get here at 10:30, I wake up at 9:15.
That's insane.
So I have 30 minutes to get ready or shower and whatever. And then I have 45 minutes to get here. That's with or without traffic.
Yeah.
But it usually takes 30 to 35 minutes to get here. So I give myself a 10-minute buffer for any road closures and stuff. Yeah. I used to wake up, go surfing, then come here, you know, something like that. If I had like a 10:30, I could wake up at 6 a.m.
What happened?
I don't know.
It ebbs and flows. So the big thing is you don't judge it, but you realize that if you like the happiness scale, you're happier when you do that, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Correct. So it's not... Happiness is not a mystery. It's figuring out the day that made you happy and just stringing those together. It's just this is all bullshit, all the rest. So if you go, well, what was my happiest day? I got up, I surfed, I did some work, I did this, and then I did that. That was a happy day. Well, just rinse and repeat and do that every – just do more of it. People
–
and this is what we'll talk about, the domino effect. People distract themselves with 1,000 things instead of doing the one thing they should that'll make everything else go away and be happy. So if you got up at 8, you'd probably be pretty happy. It's a perfect domino effect. So something simple like, okay, what if I just figure out how to sell this one product? instead of me trying to sell 20 different SKUs.
Right.
It's like, well, In-N-Out Burger's great because they're in California and Arizona. They don't give you 35 products to buy.
Yeah.
They give you fries, a burger, a double burger, whatever, a shake.
Yeah.
And it's incredible because they're not trying to be a master of everything. They knocked over one domino. This is it. This is what you're going to get, and it's perfect. Like, Costco's very similar in the sense of not their SKUs. They have less SKUs, really, than everybody else, but they're going to give you the lowest price that is out there. And, you know, and that's it. You have to focus on one thing that will eliminate all other problems. So if I'm having trouble selling, if I'm having trouble with employees, if I'm in trouble with this, well, maybe if I focus on this one thing and selling this one product, it'll get me more money and it'll help the employees, it'll help the customers, it'll fill the circle. So that domino effect is key, because what happens is, and again, I've been listening to Alex Hormozi a lot, this is great too. What happens with a business or with tennis or anything, in a 0 to 3 year window, you start practicing. So number one, what happens in this window, you have uninformed positivity. So I start playing tennis, and I'm going to be the greatest tennis player in the world. I'm going to be awesome, right?
Yeah.
I do that for a while, and then I'm not. So then I get informed pessimism, and I'm like, boy, shit, this is harder than I thought.
Yeah.
This ain't going to work out. And then I have the valley of despair. So after that, I quit, and I try something new. I can be great at this, and I can be great at highlight, I can be great at lacrosse, I can be great at basketball, football, and every time it happens, you get uninformed positivity, informed pessimism, and then valley of despair. It happens every single time. If you just stick with it and not quit between that 0 and 3 year window, and that's the problem, is people start businesses, they start it, or they start tennis, and they quit within 3 years because they're not getting what they want.
Right.
Instead of going everything and realizing it, everything takes a 10-year window to get some sort of aptitude.
Yeah.
You have to understand that. And if you push through that, year zero to year one has got progress, but year 2 to 3 feels like you're going backwards. You need to get over to year 10. It's just like compound interest, like money. You get to year 10, and you're like, all of those things have kind of built into itself, and then you're an overnight success, right? But you're really not. You've done this for 10 years. So you've got to stop getting out of that cycle. You have to realize everything takes 10 years. You will get all of those things that'll happen, but you keep progressing. After you get valley despair, you don't quit.
Yeah.
You keep progressing, keep progressing, keep progressing to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next development, the next development. And that's really, you'll find the domino. It takes a long time to find the one thing, but you're going to have to suck it up for 3 or 4 years. You're playing tennis. You can't get your forehand right. You can't get your serve. You hit the plateau, and you're just like, boy, I'm no good at this. That's when you have to practice more. That's when you have to analyze more. That's when you have to do more things. You have to do more and do more and do more.
Yeah.
It's really the difference between you being successful on the court and not. You cannot – giving yourself a 3-year window for anything is not enough time. It's just not. So that being said, anything takes 10 years. Like we said, make sure it's the right lever. Don't do something for 10 years and be a puppeteer, like we said, or something that doesn't make – has no ROI.
Yeah.
Because, again, $1 billion or $1 million business will take 10 years anyways. So you have to understand what lever you're pulling when you're doing this. You can't just go willy-nilly into what you're doing. Unless you have a deep passion for something and you love it so much and the money's not important at all. I mean, that's okay, but you have to figure out how to pay your bills, right? So that's a big thing that I was thinking about in regards to getting wrapped up. And again, that's what the other thing between year one and year three. There's other dominoes, right? So you start looking at other dominoes, and that's the problem. That's the whole domino effect. You have to just be patient. Like me right now, right? I have to be patient, learn, study. Don't start going, okay, I need to come back in here and mess with everybody because I need to keep busy.
Yeah.
And that's just another domino going back. So you have to be I mean, Buffett's incredible. Those guys don't – how many trades do they make? You know, how many times do they make a change of position? Berkshire Hathaway.
Yeah.
It's not about – Munger said it great. It's not being smart. It's stopping yourself from being stupid. And that's the hard part. Like,
okay.
You don't have to be super smart. Just stop yourself from being really dumb.
Okay.
So think about that on the tennis
like that,
court.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a super genius. Just don't do anything stupid.
Yeah.
Don't, like, try to hit a winner from 5 feet behind the baseline. Try to hit a drop shot from 10 feet behind the baseline. That's all stupid stuff.
Yeah.
You don't have to be super intelligent. You don't have to, like, be a chess master. Basically, tennis is keeping the ball one ball more in than the other opponent. Just keep it in one more shot. One more shot, one more shot. That's just not being dumb.
Right.
And you'll win and you'll succeed in life and succeed in business and in tennis if you just learn to say, hey, I'm not going to do anything dumb. And that's the biggest thing. You'll watch tennis players. They'll hit 10 great shots, and then they'll miss 15 in a row because they just can't. There's always talk about shiny new objects. Oh, I want to try this shot. There's too many choices. Oh my God. It's almost talent is a little bit of a problem sometimes because if you're too good, you know, your hands are too good, you try all these wacky shots when you should just try the simplest thing. Don't overcomplicate it. All you're going to do is not be stupid. That's my tip of the week.
Okay.
Not be stupid on the court. That really will help you. Think of that strategy. Where's the situation, Santi, where you feel like you were progressing? You told me this and you quit. And you shouldn't have.
When I was progressing? You mean like in my other careers I had?
That's the thing right there.
And
that's this is a perfect discussion with you. Hold on, I'm going to interrupt
you.
This is a perfect discussion with you
because
I've forced you, and I feel like a bully, to stay because that's what you do. You go for the next shiny thing because you feel like I'm not progressing or I'm bored, and that's when you have to power through and you'll be successful.
Yeah.
And you're the exact case of all these dominoes. You're like, oh, I'll do this. I'll go to Denver. I'll go to Colorado. I'll hang out with this. I'll go to Hawaii, and I'll find something there, and I'll work as a bartender.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the shiny new thing. Good.
Okay, so my biggest career other than this one was when I worked for Diageo.
Yeah. Wine distributor, right?
Liquor distributor, number one in the world. Have every product that you know of. And I did really well. I did, like, very well. And then I wouldn't say I got too bored. I got a lot of anxiety from it. I got offers from other competitors, you know, like Bacardi, Grey Goose, those guys. Who was trying to get me before? There was like a third place company was trying to get me before as well. And then, Jim Beam, Suntory, they were trying to get me. And then I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I was like, I don't really like talking to these people all day about crap I don't care about. So then I was like, I want to do something for myself. And then, you know, I went out and moved to Denver. But also I feel like it stems also from I had like a really bad heartbreak, so I was kind of like depressed at the same time, so I was like, I don't care about anything.
They call that geographic rehabilitation.
Never works. it didn't really work either. It took a while. So even when I moved back and opened the restaurant, I was still a little sad, you know. And my mom was like, oh, you should invite blah 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 to your restaurant. And I was like, no.
Oh, your ex-girlfriend?
Yeah, my mom loved her. And I was like, no, she has her own life. She has her own thing going.
Is she married now? I'm always curious.
No, she's not married.
She got a boyfriend?
No, she had a long-term boyfriend.
Why didn't you reach out to her?
We talked every once in a while on, like, Instagram and Snapchat and stuff, but we don't, like, talk.
Where does she live?
She lives, like, I don't know, 20 minutes from me.
Santi!
Nah, I tried. Quick story is she invited me to this, she does, like, Rutgers Gardens type thing, so she like volunteers and stuff.
Yeah.
Then I went. She invited me to like this event that they were having. I got there. I saw her ex-boyfriend walking around, and I was like, and then I got very emotional. I was like, but I didn't even see her yet, so I didn't find her booth yet. And I was like, I'm not gonna go. And then I left. I got in my car and left because I was like, I don't want to deal with this. I was all in my head.
She invited you and you left?
Yeah. She invited probably like a bunch of people, but they already broke up, and then I was with
maybe
her
that was your opportunity, something.
Yeah, I didn't seize the moment, but that's okay.
How long ago was that?
This was like in the summertime.
Reach out to her, Santi. Come on, we bring lives together here at the Strand.
God.
Does she play tennis?
No, she plays pickle a little bit.
I give you a court for free, Santi. Yeah, bring her over.
I,
play
you
a little
already
pickleball.
Told me I can use the court if
tell
I want to.
Tell her to come and play pickleball.
I know. Yeah.
I'm going to force you to do that. Oh, that's the one domino. Yeah. That could be the one domino that knocks everything over. How long did you guys date?
So I knew her throughout college, okay. And then I got out of the friend zone.
Yeah. Nice.
And then we dated for like a year and a half or so.
Santi, the one domino. There it is, the domino effect.
Yeah,
it could change your whole life. Remember you said if you meet a woman, it could be the same woman, you'd stay forever. You'd move in.
We'll see.
We'll see. Look at him. Look at him. Santi, I think you should.
Okay.
He's cutting me off now, folks. He's not making me. He's not letting me get in there and help him out. That's basically the gist today. Look up the domino effect. Russell Brunson wrote about it. He's a great salesman. You heard of ClickFunnels. He's the CEO. But he really got that from Ferris. So, you know, all these things you can learn and read about. I just kind of curate a lot of them. Some of them become my own thoughts based on tennis. Everything, because everything kind of equates, right? Do one thing. Don't do anything stupid on the court. That equates to tennis as well. So, again, do one thing on the court that'll solve all the other problems. So if you are getting... Again, it's a simple thing. If somebody's coming into the net too much, take the net away. Do the one thing. If someone's giving you high and heavy balls, hit the ball on the rise. Do one thing to take all those things away. So, and again, don't do anything stupid. That's the biggest thing you think. You don't have to be a genius. Just think of the simplest thing to do. Don't do anything dumb out there. Everybody, I hope that works. Look up the domino effect. The answers in the actions. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Hope you like the podcast. Please share it with your friends, anybody that you know, anybody that's into tennis, anybody that's into bettering themselves. Share it.